Welcome to Twin Cities Theater Chat. This podcast is created by members of the Twin Cities Theater Bloggers to share our love of theater, promote theater going, and support our theater community. On today's episode, we're continuing our short series on the history plays at the Guthrie Theater. For the first time in over 30 years, the Guthrie is performing Richard II, Henry IV, and Henry V with a rotating repertory cast. Today, Rob Dunkelberger of the Stages of Minnesota is chatting with Trevor Bowen, a costume designer based in the Twin Cities. His amazing work can be seen locally at the Guthrie Theater, Mixed Blood, The Jungle, Children's Theater, and across the country at Oslo Rep, Seattle Children's Theater, Fifth Avenue, Steppenwolf, and many more.
This is Rob Dunkelberger of the Stages of Minnesota. As part of our ongoing look at the Guthrie's mounting of Shakespeare's history plays, Richard II, Henry IV, and Henry V in Rep, I've caught up with costume designer for the three plays, Trevor Bowen. Trevor, I know you're very busy costuming for three plays simultaneously. Thank you so much for stepping away for a few minutes to chat.
Oh, glad to be here.
First off, what are the challenges of costuming three plays at once? Do you approach each play on its own, or do you think of it as in terms of one long play?
You know, what a great question, because, you know, doing these three plays in particular is fascinating because it's essentially a family drama. You're watching sort of the fall of one monarch, the rise of another, the fall of that very same monarch. Within the same play, and then the rise of the son of that fallen monarch. I mean, and it's all, you're seeing this really amazing lineage kind of take place across these three plays. Like, so I think the good thing about doing these three shows is that while conceptually each show is different, there are some really strong through lines with regard to, I think, of course, family drama, what it means to have power, what it means to fight for it, what it means to utilize that in an efficient way, and what does it mean to hold on to that power?
Are you able to reuse costumes between the plays, or would you say that each show has its own set of costumes for the most part?
Mostly the shows have their own costumes. There are some people like Northumberland who traverse between Richard II and then Henry IV. One thing that Joe was very clear about, which I think is a great idea as well, is that for people that traverse different plays, we keep them in the same costume, essentially. In Northumberland's case, when we move into H4, he becomes a rebel leader. Therefore, we just have some things that happen with regard to armor, which goes over his base look costume from R2, which kind of tell us that he's a little bit more militant than he was before and is not for the king that he was originally working with in Richard II. You know, doing this, I think, helps provide like a through line for audience members who decide to watch, you know, two shows in a day, three shows in a day. It just kind of helps us sort of track those folks along. One thing just kind of conceptually that was important about all three shows was that it's very clear that we understand that this is a company of actors and they are playing multiple roles, you know, six roles in some cases. And that is very clear that we see the performer inside of each costume. Even though the look may be different, even though the hair might be different, even though we're doing some sort of manipulation with regard to makeup, we're not doing anything that drastically changes anyone's looks. Because we're actually celebrating sort of the variety of roles that each actor can play. We're just celebrating sort of like their athleticism as performers and storytellers.
What are some of the unique challenges associated with a project of this size?
You know, I'll start from the foundation. And what I mean when I say foundation, it's the undergarments. So what's kind of interesting is that each actor in each production has a separate set of undergarments, even if it's the same style of undershirt or socks. Mm-hmm. Between one or two or three plays. That really is a great plan from Lauren, our wardrobe supervisor. So each show is completely contained. So during these changeovers, where wardrobe may have only an hour to switch from, you know, a Richard II to an H4, they can completely kind of like clear the room. There's no vestige of the other play, unless it's a character that has a crossover costume. So undergarments shift, a whole new package comes in with regard to their looks, foundations on up to the outer garment that the audience gets to see. That would probably be the biggest thing that people don't realize that, like, perform, and there are two sets of undershirts or undergarments per actor per show. So feel free to do the math. With a company of, I think it's 22 actors or 24 actors, it's a lot of undergarments. So I think that's one challenge that Team Wardrobe has solved. I think the other challenge is that, and it was actually a lot of fun, is to see how many guises we can create for one performer, like how we can kind of shift sort of visual weight, presentation, volume, symmetry or asymmetry, color blocking. Like, it's such a joy to be able to kind of create a wardrobe for folks.
How many different costumes did you end up producing for the site?
I think we're at around 180, maybe 200 total, yeah.
And how does that relate to other shows you've been in charge of the costuming?
This is most certainly the largest, but it's kind of curious because there are three separate productions that we're doing in rep, so it's kind of cramming, you know, maybe sort of an entire spring season for myself into into kind of like this month-long marathon of shows.
Sure. When it comes to understudies, are they able to use the same costumes?
This is a great question, and I think it's very much about the mainline performer and the understudy. Like, usually they're different sizes in all respects with regard to, you know, jacket size, dress size, shoe size, dress shirt size. So more than likely, they have a completely separate costume. If something can track over, we try to track it over. But otherwise, it's really pulling for the idea of the costume with regard to volume or shape, and most importantly, color.
And how many of the costumes did you have to build, or what percentage perhaps is pulled from your costume stores?
Out of complete builds for the show, I would say we're probably at maybe 40% of the show is built, 60% is pulled. But the interesting thing about that is that it was very intentional that that proportion, that larger proportion, would be pulled costumes. Because looking at what we wanted to achieve with H4 and H5, we really wanted to create a world in H4, for example, that we're actually sort of celebrating sort of how disparate the kingdom is, really wrote Richard IV and his court, what they inhabit, how they look, how they present, and sort of the citizens of Eastcheap, some of which later become soldiers towards the end of the play. So what we wanted to do is really show how heavy, how regal, kind of how sad the monarchy can look in this moment, as you have a king that's definitely in decline. We wanted to celebrate sort of the vivacity, the excitement, the maybe nihilism, the party vibe, if you will, of the citizens in Eastcheap. And to achieve that, we really wanted to create something that felt really formal in the castle, really patchworked in Eastcheap. So what we started to do is really pull, go through the Guthrie stock, the very vast Guthrie stock, and pull things that felt like, oh, this sleeve is great, this shoulder line is great, this pant leg is great, and the shop has meticulously gone in and deconstructed costumes, extant costumes, and kind of re-put them back together, collage them together to get a sense of how, not only how these folks in Eastcheap are maybe finding what they can and kind of putting it together at will and really kind of creating a version of themselves, but kind of that serves as a larger metaphor to the play itself, where England is extremely fractured. And you have people who, you know, they're essentially in a civil war. That's kind of what we're experiencing in H4. So we really wanted to sort of like, Eastcheap almost becomes kind of a microcosm of England at this point in time. So it just felt really important to find things that already have life in them, that already have some character, that have already had some stage time to them, aging, distressing, whatever, and manipulating that and recontextualizing that to fit into our world.
Are there any characters in particular that you enjoyed creating the costumes for?
You know, I'm in the midst of Richard II tech right now. Richard is very much on my mind. So you have someone who feels like he's anointed by God. You know, he was born into power. He doesn't know anything different. And what's kind of fascinating, we get this opportunity to see someone who's an icon, you know, who's really an emblem of the state, become a man. And I think that journey is so fascinating, where we get to see volumes and layers and color and texture And all of that slowly goes away to something that feels very clean, simple, direct, focused, pious, plain. I think it's so exciting because oftentimes we're building up to something that's exciting. But in this case, we're watching sort of like the fall of someone kind of becoming someone who's relatable.
Sure.
I think it's so exciting. What a great journey costume-wise. What a great journey psychologically. So I think Richard's on my mind right now. I would also probably say all of the soldiers in H5 are fascinating because just watching them in room runs, we're seeing that these are people. They're just not nameless, faceless people. We're getting a sense of who they are and what they're experiencing. As H5, yes, a leader, someone that they really love and adore, but he's leading them through the trenches. It's really intense warfare at a time when England does not have a lot of money. So what you get to see is, and hopefully what we're doing costume-wise is designing a little heart and courage and supporting what the actors are doing on stage. So I would have to say it's those two right now, like the Richard II and those soldiers in H5.
I know time is precious right now. At the time we're recording, Richard II begins previews in 3 days. Before I let you go, I have one final question. What is your favorite Shakespeare play and why?
Oh, what a great question. I will say, you know, I am fascinated by Hamlet. This is a show that I recently worked on at the Guthrie. But I think the way that it was produced here and the way that we kind of contextualized the show, it had an immediacy for me that I'd never felt before. And I was able to connect with everyone in the play that I think just upon reading it, you know, in school or for leisure, that I'd never really connected with these folks as people before. So I think it would probably be my current favorite. For me, everything kind of shifts around, but Hamlet would be my current favorite Shakespeare.
Trevor, thank you again for taking time to chat with me today. I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with when I attend the shows in April.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yep. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Twin Cities Theater Chat. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform, rate and review us, and spread the word. Follow the Twin Cities Theater bloggers on Facebook and Instagram to read our reviews and find out what we're up to, and go see a show.